We begin the current daven Masechta Sukkah, daf Lamed Gimel. We begin 9 lines down from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah for the previous daf, and that is we discuss all the different halachas regarding the invalidations of a hadas. So one of the cases was that the Mishnah mentioned was Niktam Roishay, if the top of the hadas of the myrtle is chopped off, then such a hadas is going to be possible, is going to be invalid. However, the Gemara qualifies the halacha by saying that Tani Ula Barchina says Niktam Roishay, if the top of the hadas was cut off, which makes it possible, but also by Tamara, and in its place grew a date-like type of a berry, which are found commonly by the leaves, by the willows, where sometimes by the leaf, it's attached to it some type of like a green type of a berry, which women would use to dye certain things with. So then, kasher, actually the hadas is going to be valid, because although generally it's not hadar, it's not beautiful when it has the top chopped off, but when there's a berry there and it grows in that place, so then it will be in the category of hadar, and hence it's going to be kasher. Now, related to this, the Gemara goes on to a discussion regarding the following topic of dichli. Now, the Gemara asked the following question, Boyer Birmia. Nikdam Reishay Me'erv Yamtam. What would you say? So you said that it's going to be kosher if there's a berry that grows in the place of where the top had been, where it got cut off. But let's say it's the following case. Let's say the top of the hadas got chopped off from before Yamtam. V'olsa my tamara b'yamtam. However, this date-like berry only grows on Yamtam once it was already bound together, the lulav. That is, the lulav is bound together, the lulav, the hadasim, and the aravas. Now, and the reason why is because we know it's if it's on Yom Tov, it must be bound because you're not allowed to bind it on Yom Tov, it must be bound from before Yom Tov. So now the question is, it had chopped off before Yom Tov, which is not kosher. Now, only on Yom Tov, once it was already bound together, did the berry grow, because as Rashi explains, even when it's detached, these berries could grow. Maha, what's the halacha? And what's the question of the Gemara? The Gemara explains, Yesh dichli etzel mitzvahs? Do we say the halachic concept of dichli, of rejection by mitzvahs? In other words, there's a certain halacha that we find by karbanas, which is what's called nira v'nitcha, which is, let's say, from when the animal was slaughtered, then it was available, it was eligible to be brought as a karban. Then something happens, what invalidates it, it's rejected. Now, there we say that nira v'nitcha, it's not chayzer v'nira, and that is once it was rejected, then you say, then you can't go bad. Let's say there was somebody that was invalidating it for being brought as a carbon. Then that invalidation goes away. So we don't say that then it's going to be coming back again to be available to be used as a carbon. That's the halacha of what's called nitcha. It's rejected. Once rejected, you can't go ahead and use it again. Now, the question of the Gemara is, would we say the same thing over here? That is, once the top of the hadas got chopped off, so that's considered nitcha, it's rejected. So do we say that now, even now that the berry is growing back, so now it is eligible, but it's too late already, because it's already rejected, that is on Yom Tov, when you had the hadas, until the berry grew, it was rejected from using it, it wasn't kosher. So are we going to say the same halacha we say, let's say, by karbanas and by kachim, that once something is rejected, you can't go ahead and use it, even though now it's eligible again? Oiloi, or maybe not. Now, Rashi explains that the Gemara is not going to start deciphering and differentiating in the different nuances of the halacha of dichli, because there's different classifications of rejection. This is what's called dochi mi'ikara, which is essentially the case that the Gemara was describing with the hadasim, because if it was niktam from before Yom Tov, it was never what's called nira, it was never eligible to be used. In other words, because once Yom Tov started, when the time when you can use the hadasim, it already wasn't a kosher type of hadasim because the top was already cut off. So that's really one type of category. Then there's another case of nira v'nitcha, which is that when Yom Tov had started, let's say it was eligible, then the top got chopped off, that would make it nira v'nitcha, and then if, let's say, a berry grew in its place, that would be, would you say chayzer v'nira or not? These are different classifications and gradations in the halacha of dichli. So Rashi explains the Gemara is not getting into those particulars, which the Gemara later on will get into those particulars. Now the Gemara is just asking the general question. Do we say this halacha of dichli, rejection by mitzvahs, like we say by karbanas, or not? No. You can use it. You can't. It doesn't make a difference if it was the time that was rejected or not. So the Gemara now asks on the question of the Gemara, of Rabbi Yirmiya, says, what do you mean? What's the question? Do you say dichli by mitzvahs or not? V'tiv shalem ha'ditnan. You can resolve it from the following Mishnah Chulin, which the dig seems clear regarding this question. The Mishnah says as follows. Kisahu, if a person went and covered the blood of a wild animal or a bird, which there's a chiyuv of what's called kisah adam, when there's the blood, you have to cover it with the earth. So if someone covers it, v'nisgala, then it got uncovered, the halacha is patur melechasas. He's exempt from covering it because since he covered it already, even though now the wind came and let's say uncovered it, it's not his responsibility anymore. He did his mitzvah of kisadam, he's exempt. Kiso haruach, however, if he didn't cover, he didn't do his mitzvah of kisadam, the wind went and blew some earth over it and covered the blood. Then the halacha of the Mishnah says is chayav lechasas. You still have an obligation to cover the blood. Now, v'amar Rabbi b'chana amar b'yechanan, he said in qualifying that halacha, he says, loy shanu, he didn't learn that if the wind went and covered the blood, that the person still has an obligation to cover it, that was ela shechazev in eskala. That was only if then the wind went again and uncovered it. Then you have that obligation because you never absolved your obligation because the wind covered it. Now that it uncovered it, you still have that chiv and therefore you have to cover it. But if it didn't go ahead and uncover it, you're still exempt. In other words, you don't have an obligation to say, oh, I didn't do my chiv. Let me go uncover it, then I could go ahead and cover it. No, if it's covered, it's covered. We're just saying that if it uncovers it, then you have the obligation back in. Now, and we had asked over the end of Gemara Masech Leshulim, but then the question then becomes, even when the wind goes ahead and uncovers it, why would we be obligated to go ahead and cover it in that case? Since it was already rejected. In other words, initially when the wind went and covered it, we said that then you're exempt from doing the mitzvah of kisa adam. And that, as we said, because if loy neskala, as was just explained, then we said they're potem lechasas. You're exempt from covering it if the wind covered it. It's only if it became uncovered that you still have that previous obligation that you never fulfilled yet, then you have to cover it. But if it was already rejected at the time when it was covered, which means to say, dichui by mitzvahs means to say that it's rejected, you don't have an obligation, there's no fulfillment of it right now because it's covered, so therefore itchi, so it should be rejected forever even if it becomes uncovered because it was already nitcha. So now even now that it was uncovered now, so you could do it, but it doesn't make a difference, it's already nitcha. And on that, Vam Rav Papa, so Rav Papa said, zoysa meres, so what can we conclude from the Mishnah that ein dichi etzel mitzvahs must be that there is no rejection by mitzvahs, because if there was rejection, then we wouldn't say this inference of the halacha of how we qualified the halacha of leishanu, that it's only when it became uncovered that we're saying you have the obligation, because why do you have an obligation? If once it was already covered, then you have no chiv, that's already nitcha. Must be ein dichi etzel mitzvahs, that must be there's no rejection, and that you always could do a mitzvah if it then becomes back eligible again. So what's Rabbi Yirmiyah's question? Just look at the Mishnah Masech Leshulim. It seems clearly that there's no dichui. So that the Gemara explains that no. There are papa gufe. This diuk, this inference of a papa that we were just quoting, that itself is miboyle. That's exactly what Rabbi Yirmiyah was asking about. He says, yes, I know that diuk in the Mishnah Masech Leshulim. But my question was as follows. Mifshit pashtetle? Was it clear to the Tana in the Mishnah of Masech Leshulim that spoke about that, yes, if the wind covers it, that then if it gets uncovered, you have to cover it. The ein dichi etzel mitzvahs, because it was clear to that Tana that there's no rejection by mitzvahs. Now, what does it mean that it was so clear to him? That meant lo yishna l'kula. I mean, it doesn't make a difference as a leniency. In other words, the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, where if we say that there's no rejection, which would mean that it's kosher, now that's a leniency. If we would say that there is rejection, then there would be pasul. You can't use such an hadas. Now, on that, we would be saying that, yes, the Tana of the Mishnah Masechta Shulam, like Rav Papa makes it sound like, it's obvious that ein dichi, there's no rejection, as we see, because if there's a rejection, you wouldn't be able to go ahead and have a chiv to go ahead and cover it, because it was already rejected when it was covered through the wind. So it must be there's no dichi, and then we're going to say it's kosher, even as a leniency for the case of the hadasim, which means to say that, oh yeah, I know that when Yom Tov started, there was no top, and therefore it's pasul. But there's no dichi, the berry grows, go ahead, you can use it in kosher, which makes it a leniency for us. And volation l'chumra, there's also no difference regarding stringency, as is the case over there in the Mishnah Masech Leshulim, where you're still obligated in the halach of kisa adam, because ein dichi, so that's a stringency, you have to go ahead now and cover it. Now, is that what you see from the Mishnah Masech Leshulim? But this was what Rabbi Yirmiyah was wondering. Maybe the Tana of the Mishnah in Masech Leshulim wasn't so clear that you say ein dichi. He was in doubt. Now, out of doubt, l'chumra amrinu, we say out of astringency that, look, we don't know, do you say dich or not? So l'chumra, you say that you're going to be obligated in covering the blood, because maybe there is no dichi. However, l'kula has a leniency. For example, like our case that Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking about, regarding the tamara, that the berry that grows on top of the hadas, l'chumra amrinu, we don't say, and rather we're going to say that it is possible, because maybe there is dicha ben mitzvahs, and once it was rejected on Yom Tov, when Yom Tov started and there was no berry there, so it's not kosher, even though it's then later nira, that's too later, it was already rejected, and therefore take it, the Gemara says, let it stand, it's not clear. There is no raya from the Mishnah Maseches Chulin, because all you see from there is, yes, you see ein dicha, there's no rejection, however, that could be out of doubt, as a stringency will say that you have to go ahead and cover the blood now. However, we would not necessarily say it as a leniency because maybe they were in doubt and maybe the case of the tomorrow would be pasul, or maybe it would be kosher because maybe you're right, maybe ein dichui is halacha that they knew in all situations, even as a leniency. However, since it's not clear, the Gemara says, take it, let it stand. Now, the Gemara does want to say, however, that lemi ketanoi, let's say actually this question of Rabbi Yirmiya, if we say dichui by mitzvahs or not, should be a machlekes tanoi. As we learn in the following braisa, avar v'lekatan, if someone transgressed, and he plucked off these different berries from the hadas, which had they were more than the leaves itself, which we learned in our Mishnah, that although it's possible, but if one takes it off, it's going to make a kasher. However, the Mishnah said that ema maitim yamtim. Now I'll go ahead and take it off on yamtim, and that's because of Issa d'Rabbanan, which is it seems like you're what's called being masakin kli, as if you're fixing a utensil and you're making a kosher, because here also this hadas is not kosher, it's something that's possible. By taking off the berries, which are more than the leaves, you're now fixing it, making it a kosher. However, if one goes ahead and is over and he does take it off on Yom Tov, although there's an isser, so it's still going to be possible, as the Gemara will later on explain. Div Reb Elazar ben Tzadik, that's the opinion of Reb Elazar ben Tzadik. The Chum says it's kosher. So we have machlikas here in the Braisa regarding the case of our Mishnah, when you have more berries than leaves, where it's pasul. However, we said you could take it off and make it kosher. However, still the Mishnah said you can't do that on Yom Tov itself, because that would be an Isra of Masak and Mana. However, if one did transgress that, we have this machlikas, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik holds that's still going to be pasul, and the Chum holds it's going to be kosher. Now, the Gemara says that Savrua, the Rabbanan in the Beis Medrash, who they wanted to say that this machlekes between Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chacham is exactly this machlekes: do we say dichui, or do we not say dichui by the halacha of mitzvahs or not? They assumed the following two assumptions. First of all, they assumed the kuliyama that both Rabban and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik they hold that lulav ein tzarech eged, that a lulav does not have to be bound. There's no halacha that you have to tie them together. Which, hence, what that means is that there's no application of asiyah, of a making, of the three different minim of the lulav and the hadas and the rabbis together, so that you could apply Rabbi Elazar's halacha of that there's an invalidation of tasav leim and the asli bipsulis. There is no such application of that you have to make it and not that it should be passively made by undoing some type of a problem, because there's no doing, there's no making of the hadasim, it just is what it is. There's nothing that you have to do to it, which would be the case if you had to bind it together. Now, and even Vimtim Tzulem Tzarchagin, the Gemara explains that, and even if you would say, this is what they were assuming, that there is a halacha that you have to bind together the lulav, the hadasim, the aravis, in spite of that, lo yalfin and lulav misukah. Still, the two opinions, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik and the Chacham, would hold that we don't learn out the halachas of lulav from sukkah, dechsiv batasav lemon asa. Now, although by the halachas of sukkah it says that you should make a sukkah, tasa, you should make it for 7 days, and there we learn out there's a halacha of v'loy min ha'asoy, which means, say, let's say there's a pile of hay. You can't just dig out from the middle, now by default making walls and a roof, because that's min ha'asoy. It's just made indirectly. You didn't actually make the walls. It's just by taking out what's in the middle. And that is what the Gemara says, that the Chacham had, the Rabban and the Beis Medrash assumed that both these opinions hold that, no, since it doesn't say tasa by lulav, we don't learn that the halacha of lulav from sukkah. And so even if you had an asiyah to do by the lulav, which is the binding them together, we don't say such a halacha that it can't be min ha'asa, that you can't have it already bound, and then fixing some problem, which now retroactively will make it that it was good. Now, and therefore the Gemara says, so my love, b'hol kamidlagi, so the students in the Beis Medrash, they assume that must be, there would be no way of invalidating such a case of the hadas that had more berries than leaves. The only way you could be able to say that it's not going to be kosher must be based on the principle of dichui, of rejection. Because what would be the problem if you violated an Issa d'Rabbanan, you went and plucked the berries, fine. But that's that being aside, now why should it be a pasul lulav? There's no problem of tasav lemon asli. There's no asiya that has to be here, or because you don't learn out the halachas of lulav from the halachas of arava from hadas from lulav. So it must be there's only a problem of what would be called rejection. That is, demand the pasul savi Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, who he would say that it's still going to be invalid. he would hold aminin yesh dichayetz mitzvahs, that we do say the principle of rejection by mitzvahs. And therefore, since when you tied it together, it was puzzle, because at that point, you had more berries than the leaves. And therefore, that's what's called, had already had the designation of a lulav when it was bound together of a mitzvah when it was being rejected. Hence, it's rejected forever. Now, although it wasn't the category of what's called nirev and nitcha, rather it was only dichoy meikara, this was already rejected from before Yom Tov, which is a lesser level of rejection. It's more of a rejection if it's nirev, it's available to be used as a mitzvah, and then you say there's something invalidating happens to it and therefore gets rejected. Then we say that if it becomes like later nirev, that's already too late, it's already rejected. Here it's even a lesser level. In other words, it's more of a chiddush to say over here that it's being rejected, yet still we see that it's being rejected because of dichoy meikara, that although that when it was bound, it was already had more berries and it wasn't kosher, so when you bound it together, it was already coming in the state of rejection. Still we see, when you fix it, it's not going to be kosher. It must be that Reb Elazar ben Tzaddik holds that because of its dichli, that you say rejection by mitzvahs, even the bigger chiddush of dichli meikar. Now Rashi explains the reason why we have to say the machlokes regarding when you're taking away the berries that make more leaves than berries, that it's talking about on Yom Tov. If it has nothing to do with Yom Tov, it has to do with the aguda, the binding together, which would then say that when it was bound and became a lulav, which is only when they're all three bound together, that's a rejection, that it was already rejected, and you'll say that it will remain in rejection, even if you fix it afterwards. So Rashi says that because generally, Yom Tov has to be talking about that after it was bound together, because on Yom Tov, it's usher to bind it together. And moreover, he says that if, let's say, it's going like the first approach that they had assumed, that you don't even have to bind it together, then it still had to say their argument was regarding Yom Tov, because if Yom Tov didn't start yet, then there was the zman of the mitzvah of the lulav and hadassah didn't start yet, and therefore it wouldn't have a shame mitzvah of hadassah yet to be considered rejected, and hence if you had taken that off from before Yom Tov, it would be kosher, because it was never rejected. If 2 weeks before Sukkot, you can't reject it. You can only start when the zman of the mitzvah is coming, when Yom Tov starts, then you say that it's rejected, or when you bind it together, if there is a chiyuv to bind it, then it would be considered, that's when you're making it to lulav. So either one of those had to be that we spoke about Yom Tov, either because then it means it was already bound together, and therefore it was already coming in the state of rejection when it was started to be called a lulav, together with the hadassim and the rabbis, or if it doesn't have a chiv to bind it together, then the reason why it picked Yom Tov is because only then will it have the shame, quote, of hadas, which would be for the category of the mitzvah of lulav, and therefore it was rejected. Even now that you pluck it off, doesn't make a difference because there is dichui by mitzvahs according to Reb Elazar ben Tzaddik. That's his opinion. Umad ha-machshir sabar, however, the chacham would hold that lo yamrin yesh dichui etz mitzvahs, that we don't say rejection by mitzvahs. We only say it by things of kedush of sanctity, like by karbanas, where there we know there's the halachas of rejection. So therefore the Gemara says, it seems to be that the question of Rabbi Yirmi actually is dependent on the machlokes tanoi. Another Gemara says, no. You could say that everyone holds that there is no rejection by the halacha of mitzvahs. Hence, if let's say you had the case of Rabbi Yirmi that he was asking regarding the berry that grew in its place, so it's okay. Now it's kosher. It's kosher. It doesn't make a difference that when Yom Tov started, it wasn't valid. Now, the reason of the one who says it's possible, Reb Elazar ben Tzaddik, is for a different reason. That's because, although that the Gemara had the Talmid Chacham in the Beis Medrash assumed, but their assumption was not correct, and that is Reb Elazar ben Tzaddik would hold that it's possible because of a different invalidation of Tasa V'Leimen Asli, because he holds that the lulav has to be bound together. Hence, there is an application of an asiya, of a making what's necessary by the lulav together with the hadassim and the harabas. And v'hacha b'melef lulav misukah k'mifugi. What they are arguing about, the Blazer B'Tzadik and the Chacham, is regarding, do we learn that the halachas of lulav, which has an asiya, as we explained, from the halachas of sukkah? And that is marasav yalfinan. Blazer B'Tzadik holds that we learn out the halachas of lulav from sukkah with a binyan av, because lulav misukkah, we learn out lulav from sukkah. That is, just like over here, by sukkah there's a chiv of asiya, of making the sukkah, and here by lulav there's a chiv of making the sukkah, of making the binding of the lulav together. And just like over here by the halachas of sukkah, it's a b'loy ben ha'asa, it can't be that was indirectly made. Also over here by the lulav, it can't be indirectly made. And that's the problem, because when you made it, it wasn't kosher, because you didn't have the top, you didn't have the berries taken off. And therefore, if you're going to take off the berries, even though now it's going to be kosher, but it's min ha'asa now, because the asiya of the binding wasn't a kosher binding. It's only kosher now retroactively, because you took off the berries. We don't know now the halachas of lulav and masuka. So though they also would agree that there's nasiya, there's a making of the lulav together with the adas and the rabbis when you bind it together. However, it doesn't have a problem of min al-asay because we don't learn it from masuka, and therefore, although now indirectly it's made, it's okay. And that's why the whole discussion. V'bay same, or if you want, you could say, it's on the other criteria that they had assumed. Isvirlan lulav tzarech eged, if we hold that the lulav needs to be bind, you're right, the kuli amay fin lulav misuka, then everyone would agree, even the chum would hold, that if there is an asiyah by lulav, we would learn it out from binyanah, from the halachas of sukkah. V'hacha b'lulav tzarech eged k'mifkin, but however, what they are arguing about, does the lulav need to be bound or not? U'beplukted on the tanoim, and they're arguing on the following machlik tanoim. To sound like learn the brisa, lulav, bein ogud, bein she'ina ogud kosher, a lulav, whether it's bound or whether it's not bound, is going to be kosher. That would be like the chacham, that they hold there's no chiv to bind it. And therefore, even if we were to learn lulav from sukkah, but there is no asiyah, so there's no problem with tasmul asa. And again, as we said, that everyone holds that we don't say dichiv by mitzvahs, and therefore it's going to be kosher. Rabbi Hudaima, he says, ogud kosher, she'ina ogud pasul. No, it's only kosher if it's bound. If it's not kosher, it's going to be, if not bound, it's going to be pasul. That would be like Elazar ben Tzadik. Since there is an asiyah, it has to be bound, and we learn out, according to everybody, lulav from sukkah. And just like a sukkah, we see tasav lemon asiyah, here also, since indirectly it's being made into a kosher binding, because now you're taking off the berries, which will then make it a kosher hadas, that's tasav lemon asiyah, and that's going to be pasul. Now the Gemara says, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda that he holds, which we're saying Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik could be like him, that there is a chiyuv of binding by the lulav? Yolof l'kicha l'kicha magudas ezav. We learn out taking, which says by the halachas of lulav, from the taking that it says by the bundle of the hyssop, which was said by Pesach Mitzrayim. Ksiv hach, it says over here, passing b'yikra, l'kachtam l'chem b'yim rishon, you should take for you on the first day of Sukkot, a kapas tamarim, the lulav. Ksiv hasim, it says over there by Pesach Mitzrayim, a passing in Shemais, l'kachtam magudas ezav, you should take a bundle of hyssop, which they used and they dipped into the blood, and they put it by the doorway. Now, malahal naguda, just like over there we know the halacha says that it has to be bound together. Avkan, aguda, here also, the halacha is that it has to be bound together, and that's how he learns from lekicha lekicha, that it has to be bound together. Rabban, unless lekicha lekicha, they do not have that gizei reshav of lekicha lekicha, and therefore they hold that there is no chiyuv for it to be bound, and hence it's going to be kosher, even if it's retroactively done. Now, however, one thing that we do see, al kaponim, is that we don't say necessarily that Reb Elazar ben Tzadik would be arguing with the Rabbanan regarding if we see that there's a dicha b'mitzvahs or not. We, as we said, that everyone could agree that there's no dicha b'mitzvahs, and therefore could be the case of Reb Yirmiya, would be according to everybody, that it would be kosher once the berry grows on the top. And here what they're arguing about is either do we say that a lulav needs to be egged, or do we learn out that we learn that halachas of lulav from a sukkah, which would be a different psul of tasav lemon asay that it was indirectly made, but again nothing to do with the problem of dicha by mitzvahs or not. Now the Gemara asks, related to what we just discussed, this brisa that we said in the second version of what Reb Elazar ben Tzadik and Rabbanan are arguing about regarding if a lulav has to be bound or not. So matan l'had etan Rabbanan. So who is would be saying the tan of the following brisa that says lulav mitzvah la'agdaya, lulav is a mitzvah to bind it together. V'im le'agdu kasha, whether it's not bound together, then it's going to be kasha. So the Gemara says, man, who's this? E Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, so ki le'agdu mai kasha. If it's not bound together, why is it kasha? He says it's pasul if you don't bind it. He learns it l'kicha l'kicha. And e Rabbanan, if it's like the Rabbanan, so my mitzvah cover, what mitzvah are you doing? They don't learn l'kicha l'kicha from anywhere, so what would be the mitzvah to bind it together? So that the Gemara says, la'ilim Rabbanan. The truth is, it's like the Rabbanan. Mitzvah, the mitzvah is from a different halacha, not because we learned lekicha lekicha intrinsic to the halachas of lulav per se, but rather mishum based on the pasuk in Shemais that says this is my God and I will beautify him, which means say I will be beautiful in front of him, which means say you should make yourself beautiful with the mitzvahs that you're doing it, binding the lulav with hadas meravas makes it more presentable, and that's the mitzvah to do it. However, that's not mi'akiv, and therefore if one does not do it, it's going to be kasher, but again not because of it's in the halachas of lulav per se, rather it's a general halacha which has an application and these halachas of making it beautiful, which is only mislikat chila, but it's not mi'akiv b'di'evit. Now the Gemara continues explaining the invalidations of the halachas of hadas that was mentioned in the Mishnah previous daf. Says oisha hayu anav merubin, or if there are more berries than the leaves, then it's going to be pasul. So the Gemara qualifies this halacha. Amar Rav Chizda. Chizda said davazeh Rabin Hagadol Amru. The following thing was said by our great teacher, that of Rav. V'amakam yibe'ezrin Hashem should assist him. that he explained as follows. It says, Lo yishanu el b'makom echad. We only learned this, that it's going to be possible when you have more berries than leaves, only if the berries are concentrated in one place. However, even though they're in one place, there are still more berries than leaves throughout the entire hadas. Then it's going to be possible. But if they're dispersed throughout the hadas, so even though you have more berries than leaves, then it's going to be kosher. Now that the Gemara asked, only Rava. Rava asked to Rav Chizda, and we continue on to Amud Beis, says, what do you mean? Shnayim v'shleishim v'kaymes have a number, a pasul. If they're dispersed, not just in one place, they're in two, three different places, so that's what's called spotted, and that should be invalid because, to the contrary, if they're all over, that's not hadr, it's not beautiful, because the berries are black, and the leaves are green, and that's like spotted, and that doesn't look nice, that's for sure not presentable. And that would for sure be invalid based on hadr. So how can you say that it's only one place that's possible, but throughout it would be kashrim? So rather, Ella iyat marhachit. Rather, the Gemara says, if we want to say this halacha, it was said as follows. It said in the Mishnah, if there were more berries than the leaves, it's going to be possible. Now on that Rav Chizda said, Davar Zera Bein Agalam. This is what was said in the name of our great teacher, Rav. V'amokim yibez, and Hashem should help him. We only said this, not as we said in the first version, that if it's in one place, but rather it was only said if the berries are black. They really start to dry up, which is when they get black, because originally these berries are green. But if the berries are green, then meaning the hadasu, then they have the same look as the leaves themselves, and that doesn't look speckled, that doesn't look spotted, and therefore the kasher in such a case is going to be kasher. And that resolves that previous question, that yes, if it's going to be even throughout, it's going to be menumer, but that's only because they're black. If they're green, then it's going to be kasher because that's not a problem of hadar, doesn't look bad. Now, Amar Papa adds on to that. He says, Adumais kishcheris damyan. Red, for these halachas, have the same halachic properties as when it's black, because red is not a type of green. Actually, red is blackness, because when the red-like color of like what's by blood dries up, it's going to be even blacker. As the Gemara says, Dam Reb Chanina, like Reb Chanina said regarding the halachas of Dam Nida, the blood of menstruation, that high Dam Shachar, this black blood that emanates from a woman, Adamhu, actually it's red. Ela Shalaka, it just got deteriorated, and that's why such a shade of blood that comes out of a woman will be Tame, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Nesnida, Daf Yutes, that there are five different types of colors of blood that will make a woman Tame based on the halachas of Nida, which are red and black, because actually the black, although it's red blood that's going to be Tame woman, there's different gradations of the colors of blood. And black is a color of red. It's just that when it gets older and it gets drier, then becomes black. That's the same halacha that will apply to these berries. Although green is okay, black is not. Red will have halacha as black because they're from the same family. Black comes from, as we see, red is the beginning of black. Now the Mishnah said, Emiyat and Kasha. However, although this is invalidation of a hadas, you have more berries than leaves, that's possible. If one takes them away and makes now them the minority, then not the majority, then such a hadas is going to be kasher. Now, the Gemara asks, Dimatino emas, when is it that you're taking away the berries that to make it kasher? Right? Obviously, it's not on Yom Tov itself, as the Mishnah continues and says you can't do that on Yom Tov. So it must be from before Yom Tov. But when before Yom Tov did one take off the berries, now making it the minority? If it's before he even bound it together with the lulav and the aravas, so then pshita, it's pretty obvious. Why would such a hadas be possible? There's no invalidations that would even have an application. It can't be a problem of minha asli, what we said before, namadaf, of tasa b'leib na'asli, because when it was already bound, the berries were already off and it was already kosher. It also can't be the application of locha of dichui, of that because it was rejected, because it was never the hadas of mitzvah for it to be rejected. 3 weeks before Sukkot, you're not calling it a hadas. It doesn't have any application yet. It's only when it's part of the mitzvah. Now that would only be, especially if we're before Yom Tov, only when you bind it together. If it wasn't bound together, so what's the question that we would have to say such a case would be kosher? El labasa de l'agde, so must be that's talking about, that after it was already bound together, you already had tied this hadas that had more berries than leaves together with the lulav and the arabas. Now, obviously that this Tana must be, the Tana of Mishnah must be teaching us that you don't learn that the halachas of lulav from sukkah, because then it would be possible for at least the reason of tasa b'leim na'asa, because it was already made invalid when it was bound, and therefore when you take off the berries, that would be a problem. So obviously, although we say that they have to be bound, but it's not going to be learned out from the halachas of Sukkah. However, one thing that we do learn is, besides that, you're not going to learn that lulav from Sukkah, but it is a case of dichu miyukaruhu. This is a case of where initially, when it started off in the lulav, when it was bound, it was already rejected. And that itself should have invalidated. Forget about, so it's not a problem of tasavim and asa, because not learning out lulav from Sukkah. But it's rejected when it starts off, because it's being called a hishana psula as it starts off when you're binding it together. Now, from the fact that the Tana of Amishla says it's kosher, as we said, it must be after it's bound, because before it's bound, what's the chiddush? So tishim minah, so we should resolve at least part of the question we had on Amman Aleph, the dichu mikaro loy havadichui, that initial rejection, which is the lesser of the two rejections that we spoke about in Amman Aleph, which is of when it's nirav and nitcha, where it's eligible already to be the mitzvah, the time of the mitzvah starting, you could do it. But before you get a chance, it was rejected. Then we say, oh, that's really rejection. And therefore, to be chayzim and nira would be very difficult to say. So that we're not talking about. But at least let us resolve, which is the lesser levels of the rejection. When it starts off being rejected, which is less of a rejection, let's at least resolve that that's not considered rejection, at least for the halachas of mitzvahs that we're discussing, which is half of the question. We asked, is there dichu by mitzvahs or is there no dichu? So now, the Gemara is saying that at least resolve from our Mishnah that initial rejection, we don't say by mitzvahs that that's considered rejection. And therefore, it would only be rejection if it would be at least the case of Nirav and Nitcha, which is that Yom Tov started off, it was okay. Then they got rejected because, let's say, something happened to it, which is that, let's say, then more berries grew, or whatever it is, something that went and rejected it. Now, however, as Rashi explains, the case that we're discussing, where it was rejected from before Yom Tov, that's considered dichu mirkara. It was rejected from its beginning. Now, there's two components. It's not nir yet, because it's not Yom Tov. However, it even cannot be called nitche until you actually have it part of the mitzvah, which would only be when it's bound. So we're in some type of middle ground when you're binding it before Yom Tov. So it's already considered rejected, because although Yom Tov didn't start yet, but you bound it together, it's already being called the Hishanas, you're already calling it the Hadassim that's going to be used on the Yom Tov. Now that's considered a Hadas Psula. It's already considered a Hadas because it's already bound. That's rejected. So it's starting off rejected. And therefore, although before Yom Tov, you're already taking off the berries, that's not going to help because it was already rejected. So at least let's see that from based on our Mishnah, that's not considered. We're not going to say the halachas of dichu mikar have a dichu regarding the halachas of mitzvahs. Now the Gemara says no. Lo ilam basa de agdi. You could say that it's talking about that, yes, it can't be talking about before it's bound, because then what's the chiddush? Of course, if you take up the berries, there's no reason to make a pasul. It's not tasavam and asoy. There's no dichu because it was before Yom Tov, it wasn't even bound. So we're talking about after it was bound. However, v'ksaver eged hazmana ba'amahu, the town of our Mishnah holds that all binding is just preparing it. The hazmana bi'alma lav klumu, and just preparing it is not considered significant enough. And that is because binding it together doesn't give it the designation and the name that it should be called a quote a lulav pasul, a hadas pasul, so that it should be rejected. And therefore, it's not even really fit for the category of being called dichu mi'ikara until the Yom Tov of Sukkah starts. And then, if it's still pasul, so since the time of the mitzvah began, and it wasn't fit, then we'll say, as Yom Tov is starting, oh, that's dichu mi'ikara, it's already rejected from the beginning. But before that, before Yom Tov, even though you already bound it together, that doesn't make a difference because you didn't make it the hadas. It's not called that 2 weeks before, a week before, a day before, until Yom Tov starts. The mitzvah is not a mitzvah to be rejected. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is answering, though you can't even prove that dichu mi'ikara lo have a dichu, because it wasn't even dichu mi'ikara. You took of the berries, albeit after it was bound, but before Yom Tov started. And therefore, since it was before Yom Tov started, all the binding was doing was preparing it. Hazman ba'amah is nothing to call it a hadas psula, and therefore, it's not a problem of dichu, and you can't even prove, maybe we would say dichu mi'ikara would be dichu, but here it's not even a case of dichu mi'ikara. Now the Gemara continues on this discussion by the continuation of the Mishnah that it quotes regarding this halacha of dichu as it applies to mitzvahs, specifically this mitzvah of the hadassim. So the Mishnah said ve'imem ayitim yamtiv. However, although making them the berries, the minority would make a kasher, you can't do that on yamtiv. Now the inference is from the terminology of that you can't do it on yamtiv sounds like ha'av v'lakatan. But if one violated and did pluck off the berries on yamtiv, my why would the halacha be? It would be kasher. Because it sounds like that you shouldn't do this, but it sounds like if you did, then it would be kosher. And that's in spite of the fact that it's already bound. Because as the Gemara will later explain, that on Yom Tov one's not to go ahead and bind the lulav together with the hadasim and ravis on Yom Tov, so it must be that it was already bound beforehand. So let's see. The Ishcher Emes. When did these berries become black? Because as we said before in the Gemara, if they're green, then they're not even a psul. It's not even validating the Hadassim. So when did they become black? Ilem de Ashcher Me'etmol. If we're saying that they became black from before Yom Tov, so Dachu Mi'ikaruhu. This is a case of when it started off initially rejected. Because when the Zman of the Mitzvah of taking the Lulav started, it wasn't fit. Therefore, it's considered that it was initially rejected as Yom Tov started. So, Tifshe Mina, Dachem Ikar, Dulav Adachi. So, at least from this part of the Mishnah, where we're saying that you're diminishing them on Yom Tov, that means when it was bound and Yom Tov started, so it was already considered Pasuk because it was already black from before Yom Tov. So, it started off rejected. However, that lower case of rejection, it's not considered rejection because, as we see, that if you violate and take off the berries, it's going to be kosher. Elav, but if you don't want to make that inference, rather, what are you going to say? The Ashkhav Yom Tov, that it became black on Yom Tov, and therefore that would mean that before Yom Tov, when Yom Tov started, before it became black, then it was kosher, it was nira, because green berries are okay. And they only became rejected when they became black. So that's a case of nir v'nitchu, that's when it was eligible. Then they got rejected. So you want to make even a larger inference to say that when it was eligible, then it got rejected because the berries got black, and then you went and you plucked them off. That it's chayziv nira. That then even that you want to say it's noidicha, makes such a big chiddush to say that not only will we not say rejection by the lower level of rejection of when it starts or rejected, but even when it was eligible, rejected, then later become eligible back again, that it would be chayziv nira. Nothing more says loy. No, to say such a big inference, it's not muchach. It's not obvious to say such a thing. We're going to say that it became black, these berries, from before Yom Tov. That docha mi'ikara d'loy have a docha tivshim. You're right. You definitely can resolve that part of our question from our Mishnah. Where if it started off the mitzvah in the state of rejection, that regarding mitzvahs, we don't say that's considered rejected, because we see that from our Mishnah, we said if you plucked off these berries, it's going to be kosher, even though when Yom Tov started, it was in the state of rejection. But regarding to say such a big chiddush, that even if it's the larger level of rejection, bigger rejection, which it was nira, then it was nitcha, and then became back nira again, that you can't resolve from our Mishnah. That is because, as Rashi explains, definitely the case of dichi mi'ikara is better. In other words, it's more of an eligibility. It's not such a big rejection than the case of nir v'nitcha. Because since it was never nir in the first place for the mitzvah up until now, it's only now that it became eligible. So then that would be like a korban that only became sanctified right now. And that in the beginning it was what's called mechusis man. It just didn't have the time yet to get there. It wasn't 8 days old. Or whatever it is, same thing as over here, we wouldn't say that it's rejection. But if it was nira for the mitzvah, which in the case of what we're talking about, the berries were green, and then they got rejection because the berries got black, that would be rejection, and we wouldn't say that when you would pluck it off, it would be kosher. But again, we have resolved at least half of the question that regarding at least for the mitzvah of the hadassim, if it was dacha mikara, that would not be dacha, and that's why if one violates the issa of plucking the berries on Yom Tov, it would be kosher. Now, relating to this, the Gemara says, Torah, we're going to brise them. As we learned in our Mishnah, the Tanakam of this price holds, you're not allowed to take away the berries in Yom Tov. He argues on the Halacha of our Mishnah, he says you could take away the berries on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara asks, as we had been explaining up until now, the reason why we said you can't take off the berries in Yom Tov is because you're fixing a utensil, which in this case you had a hadas that was pasul. You're making a kosher that's like fixing something. Now I'll fix something on Yom Tov and Shabbos. So how does he hold that you can do that? So Rav Ashi explains, it's talking about a case kagun shalakatan, that the person had plucked off the berries from the hadas with the intention la'achila to eat them. His intention wasn't to go ahead and make them kosher to be used as hadasim. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sabla Kavua, the Amar, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, Rabbi Shimon, that he says, which is known throughout Shas, that Davish, in Meskavin, his mother, Rabbi Shimon, is, as it's stated throughout Shas, is saying that something that's not intended is permitted. Here, since it's not intended, it's okay because that's not his intention to make it into a valid mana, into a kosher hadas. He just wants to eat the berries. So therefore, he says, you can do that. Now, the Gemara asks on this, but V'abayev, Rabbi Damar Tavayu, both Abayev and Rabbi also say when they qualify Rabbi Shimon's halacha throughout Shas, then Moed Rabbi Shimon, B'psik Reishe V'lo Yamas, Rabbi Shimon, however, does agree in the category of when you cut off the head and it's not going to die, which is refers to the following analogy, which if someone says, look, I want to cut off the head of the animal on Shabbos. just because I want the head. I don't want the animal to die. No. Since it's obviously not possible that if you're going to cut off the animal's head, it's not going to die. So that is as if you're intending, it is considered miskaven, that you're intending for that to happen. Now, when do we say davish ein miskaven is mutter? If you're doing something that you're not intending for that consequence that's permitted, that's where it's possible that the isser will not even happen. For example, if someone's dragging a chair, a bench, or a bed, now, as long as he's not intending for it to make a charitz, a ditch, as he's dragging it on the ground, although that's a malach of chayrish, now, although you should be concerned, but since he's not intending for that, so that's why, since it's possible when he's dragging it, it's not going to make that engraving in the ground, so even when it does it, it's okay because it's not a problem he didn't intend for that to do, and even though that's a real malach, he's not going to be chayv. But here, where it's definitely going to happen, when you're cutting off the animal's head, for sure he's going to die, which is the same thing in this category. If you're taking off the berries, it's going to be a kosher hadas. So how does he say that you could do it because it's not miskaven, but it's a category of psik reisha? It's inevitably going to happen. So that the Gemara answers, Hachem Eskin, the case that we're talking about over here is the Isle Hishan Achriti, where actually the person has another kosher hadas. He doesn't need this one to be his kosher hadas to use for the lulav. And therefore, that's not, quote, ticking kli. It's not part of fixing something because he doesn't need it to make it kosher. And therefore, it's not the same as the halacha of psik reisha. Because there, either way, whatever, if you want it or not, the animal is going to die. But here it's not true. There is no ticking kli. You're not fixing it. You're not making anything out of it because you don't need it. That's not making it for what you need. In other words, if there was no other one, so now you would be making it into a kosher hadas because that's what you need it for. So even though you're not intending for it, it would be usher because that would be psik reisha, but lo yomis, inevitably you would be doing. But everything that you do has some utility. Because it's doing this for that or that for that, but that would only be if you need it. If you don't need it, that's not what you're doing. It's not considered psik reisha v'lo yomis. You're not fixing something. I'm just eating berries. You could always say, oh, you're eating berries. You know, you're fixing the stick that you could use it for a part of jewelry or whatever it is. That's only if you would be needing it, then you would be making it into that. Here where the person has another one, he's not doing anything. He has another hishana, and therefore it's not fixing it. And that's why he holds that you could pluck it on Yom Tov. That was the opinion of Elazar ben Shimon, going like his father, who holds that davish ein miskaven is mutter, and therefore this is a case of davish ein miskaven, and it's not psik reishi because it's not making it to mana if you're not intending for that, because he doesn't need it because he has another one. Tarban, we learn the brisa. Hutter agda. So this is what we alluded to before regarding tying, but that we said we had assumed that all along that you cannot bind the lulav on Yom Tov. So the Bryce says, if the lulav became untied, the binding of the lulav became untied by yamtub and yamtub, so what do you do? So oigda, you bind it together by just wrapping around the one of the leaves of the lulav, which is used to bind it. You just wrap it around, and then you stick the edge of where you're coming to when you finish tying it around. You just stick it inside what you had wrapped it around with. The way vegetables are usually bound together, in other words, not to tie the two ends together as one, the way one would normally knot it together, because that's what's called a kasha shel kayama. That would be an everlasting knot, which is one of the lamates malachas. And this one would be, if you would tie together a kasha shel kayama, that would be to last, because no one would ever have a reason to undo that knot, because why would you undo it? So therefore, it would be considered malacha deraisa, so you can't do that on Yom Tov. So what you do is you just wrap it around, and then you tuck it in. Now, the Gemara asked on this brisa of Amai, why did the Tan of this brisa need to come on to such a lack of fixing it, of being able to bind it together? But you could have done one better. Just make a bow out of it. And that's because that's going to hold it together better than just tying it in, which many times it could just come straight out. And there's no Issur Malacha because making a bow is not a problem of the Malacha of Kshir, of making a knot. And that the Gemara says, Hamani, who's the town of this price? Rabbi Huda the Amar, that he says, as Burna Masech the Shabbos, Tafkuf Gimel Amin Aleph, Aniva Kshir Mal Yasi, making a bow is a violation of the Malach of Kesher. As there, the Gemara brings a price over there, that if someone has a rope of a pitcher that's used to draw water from the well, which if that string, if that rope became undone, if it tore, that the Tanakhama says, you're not allowed to tie a knot, but you're allowed to make a bow. Rabbi Huda says, no, you can't even make a bow. You could just have something attached to it and wrap it around it, but you can't make a bow. And that's why the Tana of this Brisa says, you just have to wrap around the lulav. You can't even make a bow because it's going like Rabbi Huda. Now the Gemara asks, Rabbi Huda, if the Tana of that Brisa is Rabbi Huda, so Eged Mal Yasabai, but how can that work? As we said before, as we quoted before in the Braiser, Yehuda says she'ena ogred pasul. He says a lulav that's not bound together. It's pasul because he learns out from Agudas Ezov. Now this one is not bound together. It's not tied together. It's just wrapped around and then it's tucked in. So how could that even work? It's not even going to be the halacha of Aguda. Another thing my answer is, it's not really Rabbi Yehuda. Haytana savalu kavasei b'chada. This is a different tanu who holds Rabbi Yehuda in one area of halacha that he agrees that regarding the halachas of Shabbos and Yom Tov malacha, that making a bow is like the malacha of Kshira for Shabbos. Upala galei b'chada, but he argues in him in another halacha, that of lulav, that he holds that it doesn't need bound together. Now, one thing Rashi wants to take out of this Gemara l'halacha is that he says that we see that the aguda, the binding of the lulav, needs to be a full-fledged knot. That you have to take the two ends of what you're wrapping it around with and knot it together. And because as we see that, if someone just ties it together the way they would tie their vegetables, that's not considered a binding. Now, even according to Rabban, who argue in Behuda and hold that lulav doesn't even need to be bound in the first place to be kosher, but as we said in the Manav, the Rabban agree that it's a mitzvah agdai. As they say from the based on the pasuk v'zeh kilav aveyu, and we hold like the Rabbanan. And they've Rashi saying that one has to have a full-fledged knot, not just to wrap it around and tuck it in, because as the Gemara just illustrated, that would not be considered a full-fledged aguda. And even from Rabbanan, at least like a tchilav based on zeh kilav aveyu, one has to make the binding of the lulav, and that requires a kesher mal yasa. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the next of the Dalet Minim, that of Arava, that of the willow. So Arava, Gizula, a rava that's stolen, so that's going to be possible for lulav, because as Rashi explains, when it says, Blekachtem Lechem, the Lechem, which means to say it should be yours and not if it was stolen, that goes on all the Dalet Minim, not just on one of them, it's going on including Arava. Yivesh, if it's dried out, which is not Hadar, Psula is going to be invalid. Shalasher v'shila anidachas psula, if it was from an asherah tree, which is a tree that's worshipped as avodah zarah, and from a city that the majority of the inhabitants did avodah zarah, that's going to be pasul, and that is as we had explained in the previous staff, that since it has to be burnt, so it's kesus yimech the shereah, it's as if there is no measurements, and there's a minimum measurement that's required by the rava of three tvachim, and now that it's intended to, it's oimid lisarif, we view it as if it's already ashes. Niktam reisha, if the top of the arava got chopped off, or nifritzolau, or the leaves fell off, or v'hatzavtzafo, which is a type of a willow, which, however, its leaves are round, as the Gemara says later, that we learn that from a pasuk that's pasul. So psula, these cases are all pasul. However, kamusha, if it's withered, v'shenashru miktzisolau, or if only some of the leaves fell off, v'shelbal, or if it's the type of willow that grows on a field, not by a nachal, not by a brook. Now, Rashi says that the baal refers to a type of land that doesn't need to be watered. It's enough with the rain that comes from the heavens, from the skies, which, because Rashi says the term baal is a term that means that it's satiated, it's satisfied. As Rashi brings from a pasuk in Yeshayah, ki yivol bachar besula is a lashon arei kimid misyasev alamin besulta, which means to say that it's satiated, it doesn't need more, and therefore it's okay with just rain that it comes on it. So that means the reference to the field, not by the brook. Keshera, well, these cases will be kosher. Now Rashi says an interesting question that one would say that we're saying four different Mishnayos that essentially all the halachas are of the four minim are basically the same. We talk about if it's gezula or if it's yavish or if it's iron nidachas or it's asher or nikdam reisha. So Rashi says, why do we have to have a separate Mishnah for lulav, a separate Mishnah for hadah, a separate Mishnah for arav, a separate Mishnah for esrig, and we didn't say them all together in one Mishnah? So Rashi says, because each one has a certain halacha that each one doesn't have. That is because the halacha of tzini har barzel, it only applies by lulav. Having more berries than the leaves only applies to hadas. Halacha of tzatzifah, as it says in our Mishnah, only applies by rava. And if it's from orlo or truma, it only applies by esrig. And that's why we have to say four separate mishnayos, which the majority of them are applies by all of them. But since each one has a unique halacha, we have to say them separately. Now the Gemara does, as it did by the other ones, it explains, how do we even know that when it says in the Torah, Avri Nachal, it's a reference to what we call the Aravis to the willow. So, Taman, we learn the Brises. This is a pasuk in Beyikra. Arvi Nachal, that one of the Dalet Minim you have to take on Sukkot, is the willow, the willow that grows by the brook. Now, Higdila Nala Nachal, what that means is that it should be the one that grows by Nachli Maim, by the brook of water, which the mitzvah is to use such a willow. However, as we just explained in the Mishnah, if it is from a baal, if it's from a field which is not grown by the willow, it's going to be kasha, as the Gemara will later on learn from the term of arve, which is plural, which includes not just the one by growing by the field, by the water, but even the ones that grow by the fields. Dava Acher, another interpretation from the Pasuk, how do we know that it's the Arabis that we call Arabis? It says in the Pasuk, Arvei Nachal. Sha'ala Shalom Mashach Kanachal. It means that its leaves are drawn like the brook, which means to say that it should be like an oval, not a round shape, which would be excluded in the case of Tzafzafa, which are the type of Arabis that are round. Tani Dichulun, another Braisa. Arvei Nachal. Again, it says in the Pasuk that the willow brook. Ainly ella Arvei Nachal. So I would only know that it could be Arvei Nachal. Shall baal, if it's going to be from a field, not by a nachal, like we said in our Mishnah, over shall harm, or if it goes in the mountain, which is the Arava type, not the Tzavtzava type. Minayin, how do we know that even that would be kasher? Tamaloyma Arvei Nachal, Mikal Mokum. That's what it says in the plural, Arvei Nachal, to say that's not just if it's the one that grows by the nachal, but even if it's one that grows in the harm or by the field, it's going to be kasher. However, continue on top of Lamadal of Aman Aleph, that Abba Sholeimer, he says that Arve, when the Pasuk says Arve, is not to say that the ones that grow in the fields are going to be kasher. Rather, it comes to teach you what's the plural of Arve. At Shtayim, that there's two mitzvahs that apply to the halachas of Arabis and Sukkis. Achas, one is to bind it Lululav together with the Lulav, which is one of the Dalmanim. But Achas Lamikdash, and one is regarding halacha that it applies in the base of Mikdash, which they would go around the Mizbeach, as the Gemara will say later on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, which was what they used the Aravis for. Now the Gemara asked, but Rabbanan, that they darshan from the word Arve to say that not just the Aravis of the Nachal, but there's others, which the plural, to say that's kosher, even that of the Baal, of the fields that are not by the brook and by the mountains, the Mikdash Minalahu. So where do they know this halacha that is halacha of Aravas, not just for the Dalminim, but also for the mitzvah of going around the Mizbeach? And that they say, that's halacha that we have a tradition from halacha Meshem Sinai. The Amr Basim, Rabbi Yechanan, he said that Esr Natiyas, the halacha of the 10 saplings, which are Mishnah and Seyed Ezra and Masech Shvis, which talks about halacha of Shemitah, which although one cannot go ahead and even plant 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, from the year of Shemitah, but if you have these 10 saplings in a certain area, then we can do that up until the year of Shemitah. And Arava, the halacha of Aravis that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, because if it was the halacha of Aravis that were used for the Lulav, that is a pasuk that we learned it out from. The Nischamayim, this third halacha of Nischamayim, of pouring the water, which was done together with the Tumet Shel Shachar, the carbon Tumet that's brought every day in the morning in the base of Mikdash, in the 7 days of the Yom Tov of Sukkis, as the Gemara says later on, Daf Mem Chesam and Aleph, where there it explains that how they did this Nisach, the pouring, whether the pouring of the Mayim, the water, or of the wine, and that's because generally Kabbalah throughout the year, its Nisachim, its libations were only wine. Except for the days of Sukkot in the morning with the Tumet Shel Shachar, then they needed two nisuchim, two pourings, one of the wine of the rest of the year, and one of the special nisach hamayim. These three halachas, when they were asked in the Beis Medrash, where do we know them from the Torah, that they said, halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, that they're halachas that are learned off, where we have a Messiah from Moshe Mesinai, where now, as Rashi explains, the one who heard these three halachas when they were asked in the Beis Medrash, that they're halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, he went and he put them together. Now the same thing applies as we quoted Nafheim and Beis, where it said that Shiurin Chatzitzin Mechitzin, that the measurements and interpositions and the walls, the one who heard it also went and put it together. And as Rashi says, in all places where it puts them together is many halacha Moshe Mesinai. This that it was just put together, that of Esr Natiyas, Arav and Nisach HaMayim, or like in the previous Gemara, which mentioned three times throughout Shas, that Shiurin Chatzitzin Mechitzin, halacha Moshe Mesinai, doesn't mean that these are the only ones or that they necessarily have a relationship. It's just in the Beis Medrash they were mentioned together, and therefore that's why it was said as such, but that does answer, according to Rabbanan, they don't learn of Arve to say there's two mitzvahs of Aravis. They learn that to include the Baal and that of the Harem. They learn out the halacha of using the Aravis, or to go around the Mizbeach with the Aravis, as halacha l'moshe Mesinai.